Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
You think you've gone too far? You think God can't reach to the bottom of hell if he needs to pull somebody out? But remember what he said, what happened to Paul, to Saul when he was on the way to Damascus, sent there with authority to arrest people and throw them in jail. And suddenly, he falls off his beast, horse, whatever it was, and he hears a voice, and there's a brilliant light shining around him. You remember what the voice said? Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting my people? Wait a minute. He didn't say that, did he? Why are you persecuting me? There's a truth embedded in that that's absolutely astounding. Because Jesus was up there on the throne. How in the world could Paul be persecuting him? And yet, here's Paul persecuting what we would consider the individual people that followed Jesus. And Jesus says, you persecuting me. There's an awesome truth in that. I don't care who you are, Jesus identifies himself with you in a very deep, personal way. You remember what he said, was it Matthew 25? I think he was talking about the judgment. Inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it to me. There is a connection that is absolutely astounding. When you look into what the Lord's purpose is, the unfolding of that purpose, and I hope it makes a difference in us. It should be the foundation of what the church means. Who are we? What is God's purpose that he's unfolding in our lives, and how do we face things in this life? You know, Paul said, oh, wow. Lord, shut down with the thing, all these thoughts that are not of you right now, but think of what Paul unlocked in Ephesians. I'm not going to go through it all, but he talked about God's plan, God's purpose, the fact that his plan, he's working out in all of our lives. He's foreseen things from the foundation of the world. He knew your name. He knew how many hairs you'd have on your head this morning. That's an awesome God. And all of that. But then he absolutely did something that destroyed all of Satan's power. You know, we think of battles, and we think of wars as being determined by the outcome of battles, as though, well, the side that wins the most battles, ultimately that's going to bring about the end of the war. There's something really different about the war that we're in, because the war has already been won. That's an unusual thing when you think about it. We're fighting battles, and yet the war has already been won at the cross. The outcome is determined. Boy, that ought to give us confidence to fight, because we're already on the winning side. There's a reason for the battles. But anyway, this is where Paul was talking about wanting his people to understand the incredible power that God revealed when he lifted his son out of the grave and set him on a throne. All right? Far above, in the end of chapter 1, verse 21, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in this present age, but also in that which is to come. I don't care how massive and how widespread the kingdom of darkness is, this kingdom is greater. The one who sits on the throne has all the authority in heaven and on earth. And God placed all things under his feet, and appointed him to be head over everything. Thank God there's not a period there. Set him over everything, head over everything, for the church. That was the mystery that God was unfolding. He had a people that out of this broken, messed up, blind, sin-darkened world, God has a people that he is bringing out. And this is the only way it's going to happen, is through what Jesus did. Praise God. But then he says something about the church, which is kind of amazing. He says, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. It's hard to think of ourselves as being the rest of him. We think of Jesus and we think of, okay, he's a being. We sort of knew what he looked like in the flesh, but now he's this glorious being and he's sitting on a chair somewhere in the sky and telling us, you know, trying to shout down encouragement to us, and we're just doing the best we can. We're going to make it through somehow. But he says, which is the fullness of him? We're the rest of him. God's purpose is not just an individual. God's purpose is not just the head. It's all of the body that's connected to him. Praise God. You know how many times have we used the scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 12? And this, he's talking about the gifts. I'm not going to try to get into a lot of the detail, but verse 12 says, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. This is a truth that I believe the Lord wants to reemphasize in our midst and really help this generation to get. We tend to think of ourselves as followers of Jesus, and that's true enough. But there is a connection that is real. When people are born of the Spirit of God, there is a connection that is so much deeper than simply a collection of people with their names on a register somewhere. If you know Jesus Christ, you're not just a name on a divine list somewhere. God wants every one of his children to understand, I'm part of him. And that's why later on in the chapter he says the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. If somebody really steps on your toe real good and hurts it, do you just say, well, that's not me, that's just my toe? Every part of me is me. I'm not just a head. I live in every part of this, and it's all, every part plays a place, has a place, and plays a part. Anyway, we'll get it right. That means if you know him, I don't care if you think you're the little toe and you're sore all the time, you're part of him. If something happens to you, if there is a challenge that you and I are facing in our lives, he doesn't see you as, well, I sure hope they get it right this time. That's him. He takes it personally because it is personal. What is it? You know, we talk about an unseen war. The truth is, we're all unseen. There's an unseen part of us that is really of a spiritual essence. We just live in these physical bodies. They're temporary. Everything about this world, as we've said many times, is just temporary. God has put it in place for a reason, to serve a purpose. This is not eternal. This is a stepping stone. And God's unlocking the mystery of why this world even exists. Praise God. And I'm starting to talk about the body. I'm an invisible being. You probably wouldn't want to see me if you saw the invisible part. But anyway, regardless, whatever we look like, I don't know. But anyway, but I'm an invisible being. But what is it that makes this part of me? It's because I live in every part. I mean, the same me lives in my foot, lives in my hands, lives in every part of my body, and hopefully in my brain occasionally. But, you know, we need to realize that how God sees his kingdom. His kingdom is absolutely united by what? What is it that makes us one? His Spirit. The whole purpose of the cross, the whole purpose of doing away with our guilt and our sin that separates us from a holy God, is that so He can come and live in us by His Spirit. Well, I'll tell you, if you have His Spirit and I have His Spirit, we're connected. We're just as connected as my one hand is to the other hand, because the same Spirit lives in spite of the fact that we see ourselves as individuals. We're not just individuals. He lives in us. And that's the kingdom that He was sent to build. And I'll tell you what, it's being built every single day. Thank God for what Jesus did, but we need to see ourselves, and we need to understand that whatever happens, we are part of Him, and He takes it personally. Praise God. Praise God. He never says, I don't need you, what's the matter with you? You're just a name on a list. He cares about you this day, because you are as much a part of Him as every single part of His body, of your body, is a part of you. If you're sore, He feels it. And so we're talking about the unseen war and the battles that we fight. Thank God that we just don't have a Savior sitting up there shouting encouragement and saying, try harder. We have one who lives in us and has given us what? How much of what we need? Everything we need for life and godliness has been given to us. Well, what in the world? Why does this world exist? Why are we even here? If all of this is really true, what part does that play? Why do we have these battles? Why do we have to fight at all? Well, remember what we read in the beginning about how He's bringing us to glory. He's purposed that we come to glory. How many of you remember what the writer in the Hebrews said in was it chapter 2? But it was necessary in fulfilling the Father's plan, I'm filling that part in, that He come and live in the flesh and suffer and die. What was the purpose of that? To bring many sons and daughters to what? To glory. That's the whole purpose. God is going to have a family that will, like the Scripture says, will shine like the sun. How in the world can He take people like us and do that? Well, He's got us living here and Him, but the key is He's living in us and through us, and we are a part of Him and we are part of each other. The more we learn that, the more we're going to be able to actually grow and fight the battles that He allows in our lives. Every single battle that He allows, and in fact, that's the only way Satan can do anything. Every single thing that He allows in our lives is Him working in us to bring us to that place. And His own Son went through it, didn't He? He suffered. He learned. What did He learn by what He suffered? Anybody here need to learn a little bit more about obedience?
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.